All right, I will say good morning. Let us begin by thanking our sponsors, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Yoel and Sarah Kelman, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drashos this month. To thank our week of learning sponsors, Jack Bennett, for dedicating this week's learning in memory of First Sergeant Rafi Zangville, who served as an infantry soldier in the Givati Brigade and was killed by Hezbollah in southern Lebanon on January 25th, 2000. We thank our Day of Learning sponsors, the Haber family, for dedicating the Day of Learning today on the occasion of the first yahrzeit of their father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, Aaron Green, Aaron ben Moshe Menachem Zichron Levracha, Jacob and Goldie Milner for dedicating the Day of Learning in honor of the second yahrzeit for Goldie's Zeda, Max Jacob Moshe ben Elio, who was a pillar of the Baltimore community. We thank our Daf Yomi sponsors, an anonymous sponsor for the Refuah Shlema for Dr. Aviva Weisbord, Ruchama Aviva Bas Sheinachana, as well as for Rachel Bas Yehudis Gittel, when Nathan and Jesse Franco for dedicating the shir in honor of the first yahrzeit of Nathan's grandfather, Nissim ben Shmuel. We thank all of our sponsors for their dedication, for their generosity. All those who require a refuah should have one together with Kol Cholei Yisrael. And the neshamas should have an aliyah, the family's a nechama. We'll say with that, let us begin. Okay, good. So we'll say, let's go. So today's daf is Tzadik Tes 99, and we are picking up Be'meretz Hashem on Tzadik Ches Amud Beis 98b at the Mishnah. Only Adam Bershus Hayachir Mital to Bershus Ham. So we'll say this is actually a very interesting case. A person could stand in the Rishus Hayachir and move an item in the Rishus HaRabim. So we'll say, so just to understand, take a look at this Rashi for just a moment. Omen Adam Bishus HaYachid, Bebais O'al Agag, V'shocha V'notal Chefez B'Rishus HaRabim, Kan U'manicho Kan. So imagine the following scene. I'm standing in my house, I have a window, my window overlooks the Rishus HaRabim. So what the Mishnah seems to be saying is, I can reach out my window, reach into the Rishus HaRabim, and move an object around in Rishus HaRabim. Similarly, Birshus HaRabim, Birshus HaRabim U'metaltel Birshus HaYachid, so too, I could stand in Rishus HaRabim and reach into the Rishus HaYachid and move something around in the Rishus HaYachid. U'bilvad shelo yotzi chutz me'arba amos. So we'll say with one caveat. The one caveat is that I should not move the item more than Dalet Amos. More than Dalet Amos. Okay, so we'll say, so interestingly enough, what's driving this over here? You see, before you would see this Mishnah, one would have thought that halacha l'maisa, you can't stand in one rishus and move something in a different rishus. What should I be concerned about? I should be concerned about the possibility of maybe taking the item into the rishus. Think about this. I'm standing in my house. I have a window. I reach into the rishus harabim. I move an item around in the rishus harabim. And so what happens? I would think I can't do that lest I come to go ahead and pull the item from the rishus harabim into my home, into the rishus hayachid. Kamash on the Mishnah says we're not concerned about that. We're not concerned. So therefore you can reach into the rishus harabim, move an item around, just don't move it more than Dalet Amos. Next. Lo yamod adam rishus hayachid v'yashdin rishus harabim. Person should not stand in a Rishus HaYachid and urinate into the Rishus HaRabim, or Birshus HaRabim, the Ashton Birshus HaYachid, or a person shouldn't stand in a Rishus HaRabim and urinate into the Rishus HaYachid. So I will say ultimately again, why? Very simple idea. Because again, I am transferring the urine, right? The act of urinating from one Rishus to another ultimately goes ahead and I'm transferring an item from one domain to another. Similarly, v'chein lo yorok, you also shouldn't spit from one rishus to another, because ultimately, again, that represents a transference of the item as well. Rabbi Huda Omer, af mi shenitlash roko b'fiv, lo yahalich arba amos ad shekher. What's a very interesting halacha? So Rabbi Huda says, not only that, but once the yitlosh rabosei literally means becomes dislodged. Once the saliva becomes dislodged in your mouth, you shouldn't walk more than Dalet Amos as well until you spit it out. Rabosei, look at Rashi just a moment. Misha nitlosh roko b'fiv. So rabosei, interesting, we're going to see what nitlosh means. But what nitlosh means on just the most basic level is an accumulation. In other words, we'll say a person always has saliva in their mouth, but at a certain point in time, the saliva accumulates into something more substantive. Rabbi Huda says, once the saliva accumulates, you really should not walk around with that, because at that point in time it's considered to be a separate entity than your body, and therefore you should expel it before you go ahead and walk Dalet Amas. Good. So I'll say, let's analyze all of these cases. Very interesting. Says the Gemara, Masnila Rav Chinina Bar Shamia Lechia Barav Kamei Derav. So lo yamot, so we'll say, so therefore, Rav Chinina Bar Shamia taught this Techia Barav in front of Rav. Lo yamot adem bershos hayachid, umetaltal bershos rabin. So ultimately, you're going to both say, they had another brisa, and in this brisa it said, a person should not stand in rishos hayachid and move something in the rishos harabin. So both said, the brisa contradicts the Mishnah. Amrlei shavkis rabbanon va'avaret k'rab meir. You have set aside the position of the rabbanon, and you have darshan, and you have paskind like Rabbi Meir. Supposedly, we're going to see this. This is the next Mishnah on Kuf Aleph. Rashi says over va'avaret k'rab meir di'ihu de'gazar shame yavi es lo kilogram bigger. Well, so we're going to see this discussion, by the way, about standing in one rishus and moving an item in a different rishus, is actually subject of Machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon. And the Machlokes Rabbi Meir is a very simple one. Do we allow you to stand in one rishus and move something in a different rishus? What's the concern? The concern is that halacha lemaisa, if we let you stand and let's say rishus yachin and move something in rishus rabban, must we be concerned that you will come to take the item from the domain in which you are moving the item and pull it into the domain in which you are currently situated? That's a machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon. So our Mishnah reflects the view of the Rabbanon, who say we are not concerned about such a possibility, and therefore you could stand in one rishus and move an item in a different rishus. You just can't move it more than Dalet Amas. Rabbi Meir will say, we'll see in the Mishnah on Kuf Aleph, that halacha lemaisa, that is aser. So here, so Rav Chinina Bar Shamia taught a brisa in accordance with Rabbi Meir, to which Rav says to him, well, you've set aside the position of the Rabbani and you pass out Rabbi Meir, top of Tzadik Tes, who suffer, me the savior Rabbi Meir, Reisha Nami Rabbi Meir. So interestingly enough, Rav Chinina Bar Shamia assumed that since the Seifa, the latter Mishnah, reflects the view of Rabbi Meir, that this view also reflected the view of Rabbi Meir Velohi, and the Gemara says that's not the case. Sefer Rabbi Meir Reisha Rabbanon. The latter Mishnah we'll see is Rabbi Meir. This one is the Rabbanon. So we'll say, so therefore again, what emerges over here is this Mishnah reflects the view of the Rabbanon, like as we read, namely that halacha lemaisa, you're permitted to stand in one domain and move an item in a different domain as long as you cap the movement at Dalet Amas or less. Ubevachelo yotzi chutz, as long as you don't move the object Dalet Amas, ha chotzi chayiv chatos. Now, what do you see from here? It sounds like what it's saying over here is that halacha lemaisa, if you were to move the object, so let's say again, let's take the first case. I'm standing in my house. I extend my hand through my window. I move an object in the public domain of Shurabim, 5 amas. So it sounds like if I did that, I would be chai v'chatos. I have performed an act of hotzah. Or an act of havara, right? I moved an object, Dalet Amas, ultimately in Rosh Sarabim. So it's like, I'm chai v'chatos. To which the Gemara Shabbos said, take a look at Rashi. Ha hotzi, first top line in Rashi. Ha hotzi, achifitz mi Dalet Amas chayiv, afal gav dehu omeid begavoa, vegbia lemala miyud, veviru, lo aminan ha'avaras derech makom pturhu, Ama baser hanocha vaakira azlinan by not lo mitchilasar v'nichusar. So we'll say, so let's understand something. If you're going ahead and standing in your house and reaching into the Rosh Harabim to move an object, we'll say, presumably, how is that happening? So remember again, presumably what's happening is you are reaching down, you're lifting up, and you're moving. Now we'll say, now understand, bepashtos, when you move that item, Dalet Amas, you are holding it at a height that is lamala miyud, right? That's just bepashtos. Remember, Rebbe said, 10 tefachim is really not a lot of heights. If you're situated in your house, you can imagine this. Imagine for a moment using one of these grabber things, right? So you grab the item, you lift it up, you extend it out, you drop it down 5 amas later. So we'll say, what are you doing? You're doing an akira. You're uplifting the. You're lifting up the item in Shurabim. You're setting it down in Shurabim 5 amas later, 5 amas further. But you're carrying it lamala miyud, which is technically speaking, you're carrying it in an airspace that is not Rosh Hasharabim. And yet, again, the Mishnah seems to indicate that halacha lemaisa, you would be chai v'chatos for such an act. What do you see from that? Leima meseye le'rava. Damar Rava, Hamaver Chayfetz Mitchilas Arba L'Sof Arba Beaviru Derech Halav Chayif. We'll say we saw this in yesterday's daf as well. This seems to support the idea of Rava, because we'll say Rava says that halacha l'maaseh, if you transport an item dal ramis and shurabim, and you transport it via the airspace, right, of a mako p'tur. In this case, when I say mako p'tur, I mean rishus hayachin. Right, you go and you transport it via the airspace of l'mal miyud, you are still going to be chayif. So we'll say this mishnah seems to go ahead and support that idea. Mika tonim hotzi chayiv chadas. No. Tush Gemara says not necessarily. Does the Mishnah say that if you moved the object dalit amos and you carried it lemalo miyud that you are chayiv chadas? Does it say that? It doesn't say that. It just says what? It just says say that halacha lemaisa obilvad shelo yotzi. It says you're not allowed to do it, but it doesn't say you're chayiv chadas. Maybe what it means is im hotzi pater avalaser. We'll say maybe what it just means is that what? That halacha l'maisa, if you went ahead and you moved the object dal ramas, but you transported it through a height that is l'mala miyud tfachim, maybe what that means is that halacha l'maisa, that is pater aval aser. Maybe that's what it means. That halacha l'maisa, again, you're not allowed to do it, but if you did it, it is only an iser d'rabbanan. Ika Dainer, we'll say an alternate version of this, ha hotzi pater. So the alternate version is, you remember, all the Mishnah says, Rabbi Hosei, is that you are not allowed to move it more than Dalet Amos. The Mishnah doesn't tell me what happens if I do move it more than Dalet Amos, right? That the Mishnah never says. So an alternate version is that you ha hotzi pater, that aval aser, if you move the Dalet Amos, it's aser, meaning it's your pater aval aser, she's aser med rabbanon. This should be a refutation of Rava. The Amar Rava, Hamaaver Mitchilas Dalid L'Sof Dalid, Beaviru Derech Halav Chayiv. Rava says that if you moved an object Dalid Amis, but you carried it through an airspace that is Lamala Miyud, that you're still going to be Chayiv. Because let's remember again, in Rava's world, what matters to us most is what? When will you be Chayiv for an act of transporting an item, an object in Rosh Hashanah? And when? When there is an akira, a lifting up of the object in one spot, and a hanocha, placement down in Rosh Sarabim, four or more amas later. We don't care how the object gets from point A to point B. So you carried it, you threw it, you carried it, lamala miyud, lamatmi, Rav says, I don't care. Biblical liability for transporting an object dalet amos and Rosh Sarabim comes from an akira and a hanocha. You lifted up the object, it moved, or you moved it four or more amas. You are chayiv midda oraisa. So the Gemara says the Mishnah seems to indicate to us that halacha l'maaseh, that's not the case. The Mishnah seems to indicate to us that no, if you moved it via lamala miyud, it'll be patra aval aser. To which the Gemara says mikatani hotzi patra aval aser. Does the Mishnah say that if you moved it dalet amos it's patra aval aser? No. Dilma im hotzi chayiv chatos. Maybe again, I will say the Mishnah means to say that you're not allowed to carry it, and if you did carry it, and if you did move it, even the lamala miyud, you'll be chayiv chatos. So if I will say, bottom line is the Mishnah is inconclusive regarding this point. So here's what I know. What I know is that if I'm standing in my house and I'm moving the object in Rosh Sarabim, I could do that. I just can't move it more than dalet amos. What happens if you did move it down more than dalet amos? Ayichayev achatos. Is it patra ava aser? So we'll say, so that the Mishnah seems to indicate is inconclusive. Lo yamot adner birshas hayachid. We'll say similarly again, listen to this. A person should not stand in Rosh Hayachid and urinate into Rosh Harabim. It's good advice in general, right? But again, I'll say, but l'maisa again on Shabbos, if one were to do so, halacha l'maisa again, that would be an act of chutzah. That would be an act of transferring an item from one domain to another. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hishtin Barak Chayiv Chatos. So listen to this, we'll say, Rabbi Yosef says, in fact, if you urinate from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, or I'll say vice versa is the same, right? Or from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, or you spit from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, you chayiv chatos. We'll say that is an act of hotzah. That is an act of transferring an item from one domain to another. To which the Gemara says, "I v'haba ina nakira v'hanochem el gavi makom dalid v'leka." But one second, we'll say, going back to the beginning of Masech Shabbos, in order to be chayiv for akira and hanocha, the object must be picked up and placed down from a makom chashiv, an important area. And halacha defines important area as what? As at least dalet tefachim. So I'll say, so if a person is spitting from their mouth, person is urinating, that's not coming from a makom dalid al dalid. So how can you be chayyeh for that? To which the Gemara will say, this is incredible. Machshavto mishavi le makom. So we'll say, ultimately, again, one's intent creates a makom choshev. So look at Rashi's moment. Machshavto shutzarech lekach mishav yilei hotza chashuva. So let's listen to this. So this is quite fascinating. So since ultimately, so essentially what the Gemara is saying is, since this is the place of, or the normative place of origin for the saliva, for the urine, it becomes a makam chashuv. Even though, again, it doesn't have the dimensions of dalid al dalid, lemaisa, again, it becomes a makam chashuv because this is the normative point of origin. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, you would be chai for an act of hotzah. The Gemara said, dilo temachi, because if you don't say this, hada amarava, zarak v'nach b'fiyat keller. Well, so we saw this case. Person throws an object, and the object comes to rest in their dog's mouth. And we'll say, imagine for a moment, I'm playing catch with my dog on Shabbos, on the English Sarabim. So what happens? I throw the tennis ball to the dog, and it catches it in its mouth 10 amos away. So we'll say, that's an act, that is a biblical prohibition. But one second, the dog's mouth is not dalad al dalad, or for that matter, again, a person goes ahead and throws something, they throw it into pia kivshan, into the opening of an oven, which also is not imakum dalad al dalad. So the Gemara says, chayiv chatas, in this case, you're still chayiv chatas, I v'haba inanacha, imakum dalad v'leka. But one second, neither of these things, the pia kivshan, nor the mouth of the dog, is a makum dalad. So why would I be chayiv? Ela machshavto mishav yirei makom. So we'll say, because since it's my intent for the dog to catch the ball, right? Or my intent for the object to land in the oven, by definition creates a chashivos for that makom. And we'll say, dalid by dalid is just the objective measurement for a makom chashuv. But if you go ahead and you deem a particular area to be a makom chashuv, then halakha lamaisa, your intent transforms that area to be makom chashuv. Hachanami, machshav mashvi le makom. So we'll say over here, because the normative point of departure for urine and saliva is my body, these areas become a makom chashuv onto their own. So if I will say, so this is very important. So halakha lamaisa, the Gemara teaches me that halakha lamaisa, if a person urinates from one domain to another, or spits from one domain to another, that is an act of hotzah on Shabbos. So this is an interesting case. Bay Rava, hu birshos hayachid, upi ama birshos harabim mahu. What's the interesting case? What happens if a person is standing in rishos hayachid, but the aver extends into rishos harabim? Say for Rabosai, so the actual, so meaning what's happening over here is, the actual area where the urine is exiting his body is in a different rishos than the rest of his body. So listen to this. It's an interesting shayla. So the Gemara says, Ma, what's the halacha? Basar akira azlinan or basar yitzia azlinan? Both say, do we go basar akira? And I will say, now where does the urine come from? The urine comes from the bladder. The bladder is situated, we'll just say in Rosh HaYachid. Because the case over here is, the person is standing in Rosh HaYachid, and ultimately, again, but the urine is actually exiting his body in Rosh HaRabin. So do we say Basra Akira Azlinan? We look at where the urine is dislodged, and the urine comes from the bladder is situated in Rosh HaYachid, or Basra Yitzia Azlinan. Or I will say, do we look at the area where the urine exits the body? And ultimately, again, that's going to be in Rishos Harabim. So I'll say, what's that halacha? We'll say, obviously, the nafkamina is very significant. The nafkamina is, did you violate an act of hotzah or not? To which the Gemara says, teku. To which the Gemara doesn't answer the kasha. Okay, interesting. The chelo yarok. So to say, a person should not go ahead and spit from one Rishos to another. And Rabbi Huda, remember again, Rabbi Huda adds in the Mishnah over here, Af misha nitlash roko befiv. As soon as, literally again, the saliva, nitlash roko again means dislodged. Once it's been dislodged in the mouth, you should not walk around with it for dalat amis. Rather, again, you should spit it out. Says the Gemara, let's analyze. Af agav delo hipech ba. So we'll say, now this is very interesting. So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Huda, it seems to be problematic, even though a person was not mahapechba. Now we'll say, what does it mean, hipachba? Hipachba, we'll say, means, hipach literally means swirl it around. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. That in other words, sometimes a person could have saliva that accumulates in the mouth, but it's just sitting there. Versus hipech is kind of, I don't know what the technical term for this is, but like when you swirl it around in your mouth, like when you prepare yourself to expel it, the act of actively gathering the saliva into a collective pool, right, of saliva. That's hipech ba, right? That's, we're going to see. The illustration works much better with phlegm. That's coming, right? It's coming in just a moment. So the Gemara says, take a look at Rashi. V'afakadol hipech petmiya. Mishum t'liyashal uchodem Rabbi Yehuda da'asra d'lameipa v'kai. V'afil hipech. So listen to this. So the Gemara assumes as follows. When you spit, the Gemara assumes like there's two processes. There is the process of the dislodging, what we call the t'lisha. But you don't normally spit, you don't normally expel the saliva until after the hipech, until after like you swirl it around and gather it. Yet, Rabbi Yehuda seems to indicate to us that a collection of the saliva in one's mouth is problematic even before you swirled it around in your mouth. But I have a hot tnan, the Mosbah wants that we learn. Listen to the most fascinating case. Listen to this case. I'm eating figs. Narashi points out truma figs. So watch this. I'm eating truma figs, but my hands are dirty. Now I will say, it doesn't literally mean physically dirty, but rather, again, it's referring to the idea that, remember, stam yadayim, in general, if you don't wash your hands, a ritual washing, hands are considered to be shnios latuma. They're considered to have, all right, a secondary level of tuma, which means that if you were to touch truma with them, it could be problematic. So, well, says the case in question over here must be as follows. I'm eating figs of truma. Now, the case has to be where I didn't necessarily handle the truma with my hands. Or the truth is, I could have handled it. You'll see why in just a moment. Watch this. So, the Gemara says, V'hichnis yado l'soch piv. So, we'll say, so then what happens? I go ahead and, as I'm eating the figs, I put my hand into my mouth. Litol tzurar. Because whatever, let's say in the figs, there was a little pebble or a little splinter that got mixed in. So I'm putting my hands into my mouth to remove something from my mouth. Rabbi will say, but in the course of it, what happened? I touched the figs. So now watch what's happened over here. I touched the figs, truma, with my hands that are shnios. Rabbi will say, but remember again, what's happened in the interim over here? This is quite fascinating. So remember again, what's happened over here is the figs have come in contact with my saliva. So the shaila is, does the contact with my saliva make them ra'ui lekabel tuma? Make it ra'ui lekabel tuma. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Actually, not yet. So the Gemara says, what happens? What's halach? Rabbi Meir metame, Rabbi Yossi metar. Rabbi Meir says the figs are tame. Rabbi Yossi says they're tar. Rashi says over here, Rabbi Meir metame, shari huchshira hatruma barok shevefiv. Rabbi Meir says, because again, the truma, my saliva is a liquid, one of the seven liquids, and it made the truma in my mouth, roi la kabal tuma. I put my finger into my mouth, touched the truma, they came in contact with my saliva. Therefore, again, the figs are now tame. And Rabbi Yossi says, no. Rabbi Yossi says that it's tar. Why? Rabbi Yossi's opinion is saliva, it's true that saliva is one of the seven liquids that can make an object roi la kabal tuma. But when is that? That's only when saliva leaves my mouth. Saliva in my mouth is not a mashke, it's not a liquid, which makes something ro'i lekabel tuma. For Rabbi Yossi mitar, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, hipach ba tame. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you swirled around if the saliva was swirled. In other words, I will say that, like when you gather something in your mouth, you know, if it was swirled around, so then it's considered to be a separate entity, then enachinami, it could be mach, it could make the figs inside your mouth, hukshar the kabel tuma. However, lohi pechba, but if you did not swirl the saliva around, then what? Ultimately, again, the figs will be tar. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mukhlefes hashita. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you have to switch around the shitos. Ultimately, again, switch the sheet to Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi. Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish says, no. If you don't have to switch around the sheetas, what's the case here? Bikicho. Oh, I wasn't talking about saliva. We're talking about phlegm. V'atanyo. So we'll say that changes everything. So the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara says, V'atanyo, we learned. Rabbi Huda Omer, kicho v'nitlash. Rabbi Yehuda talks about Rabbi Yossi, the case of phlegm, which became detached. In other words, Rabbi Yossi, once you once you cough up the phlegm, even before you swirl it, so that by definition becomes something separate and distinct. So the Gemara says, "My lav rok v'nitlash." Does that not also include rok, saliva, as soon as it becomes detached, even before it's swirled? Halach l'maisa is problematic. Lo kicho v'nitlash. No, it only applies to phlegm. I v'atayin Rabbi Yehuda Omer kicho shenitlash v'chein roko shenitlash lo yahalech dalet amos etch atchi yaruk. I, but also we have a brisa that says, Rabbi Yehuda says, that Allah Lamaisa, whether the phlegm became detached or the saliva became detached, you should not walk with it for more than dalet amos until you expel it. Ella, nechamarta, kidishanina mekar. Brother Bosa, again, it worked better what we said before, to switch the shitas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Fine, so Bosa, so what comes out over here is that Allah Lamaisa, Rabbi Yehuda's position really is that saliva, once it becomes detached, apparently even before it's actively swirled, halacha lemaisa again, halacha lemaisa will be problematic. Now, also we'll see this halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The truth is, the Rambam paskins, at least by Tumas Ochlin, that saliva. You know, let's take the case of truma. That at least by the case of truma, saliva doesn't become a mashke. Doesn't become a liquid capable of being machshir in the kabbal tuma until the saliva ultimately, again, is what the Gemara calls swirled. Or if it's just in your mouth, if it's just in your mouth, because there's always saliva in my mouth, if it's just in my mouth, it does not become a liquid that is capable of making an object ra'i l'kabbal tuma. But if it's kind of swirled, which means it becomes an entity unto itself, even though, again, it's still in my mouth, under those circumstances, it can make the object ra'i l'kabbal tuma. Good. Amar Reish Lakish. Listen to this, Bosei. Once we spoke about spitting, kiach bifnei rabo chayev misa. Bosei, if you go ahead and you spit in front of your Rebbe, you are chayev misa. Bosei, now remember, kiach is literally a phlegm, right? So if you spit phlegm, you spit in front of your Rebbe, so bifnei rabo chayev misa. So the Gemara says, Markos, the Pasuk says, the Gemara quotes over here the Pasuk from Mishle. Kol nisanai avu mavas. Well said, the Pasuk literally means, all those who hate me, Hashem Baruch Hu saying, all those who hate me, love death. But the way we darshan it is, al tikri lemisanai ela lemasni'i, those who cause me to be despised. So we'll say, so ultimately the Gemara says over here, the act of spitting in front of one's Rebbe is such a profound act of disrespect. It reflects so poorly on a Talmud Chacham. Steph, I will say, someone who does this is Chayav Misa, because it's not really the affront that he delivered to his Rebbe. It's the affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That here the Talmud Chacham is supposed to be the ambassador of the Ribono Shel Olam, and yet he's acting in such a base fashion. He causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be despised. So the Gemara says, Vaha Menas Anis. But I don't understand. But at the end of the day, it's an onus. In other words, we both say that halacha lemaisa, if a person has phlegm in their mouth, a person has saliva, that they don't ask for that. That just happens. To which the Gemara says, no. Kiach v'rok kaminon. Now, we both say, if a person like coughs up phlegm, that's not the problem. What's the problem? Is when you spit it out in front of your Rebbe, that's ultimately, again, with the Gemara, such harsh words for such an individual. Okay, so I'll say, so incredible. So I'll say, let's go back to a little bit. So lo ya'amor adam v'shas yachar. We'll say, so we're gonna lump these two mishnayos together in terms of the halacha lemaisa, because both of them deal with the same topic, namely, of standing in one domain and doing something in a different domain. So we'll see the Shulchan Aruch on both of them together. Mishnah, lo ya'amor adam v'shas yachar v'shiyishter v'shas ram. So we'll say, a person should not stand in the Rishos HaYochid, and drink in the Rishos HaRabim. Or, B'Rishos HaRabim, Yishter B'Rishos HaYochid, or stand in the Rishos HaRabim, and drink in the Rishos HaYochid. Elo, Imkein Hechnis Roshav Ruba L'Makom Shushos HaVechim Begat. Rather, I will say, if the only way you should drink in a different domain is if your head and the majority of your body extends into that domain. What's the concern of your Rabbi Osai? The concern over here is that if you're going ahead and standing in Rosh HaYachid, and you have a cup of wine in the Rosh HaRabim, and you bend your hands in the Rosh HaRabim, the concern is that you are just going to naturally, even just reflexively, bring that cup back with you into the Rosh HaYachid, thereby engage in an act of Hotzah. Therefore, says the Mishnah, you could stand in one domain and drink in a different domain, as long as your head and the majority of your body is in the domain in which you are drinking. V'chin begat. The Mishnah says the same thing with a wine press. We'll see exactly what that means. Says the Gemara, Reish Rabban of a Sefer Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, it seems to be over here. Remember, the last Mishnah allowed me to stand in one domain and move an item in a second domain. This Mishnah now, we'll say, is seemingly not allowing me to do that. So it seems to be the earlier Mishnah was the Rabbanon. This Mishnah seems to reflect the view of Rabbi Meir, who stakes some more restrictive. And I just want to point out, we have not seen the position of Rabbi Meir. That's going to come on Daf Kof Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Bechafetzin Shetzrich, and over Divrei HaKol. No, I'll say this case is different. Look at Rashi. B'chafitzin says Hatzrich. I know it's the first white line. Rashi in the bottom. Afilu Rabbanu Modu Degazer Bahu. The Mitoch Shu Tzarch Lam Yachnisim Etzlo Hilchach Mashkin Alol Tzrich and Lov Gazuyin. I'll say even the Rabbanon who allow you to stand in one domain and move an object in a different domain will agree that when you're dealing with what we call a necessity, something that you're actively utilizing and need, there is a concern that you may come to transport it from one domain to another. So I'll say in the case of drinking, where I'm actively drinking something, even the Rabbanan will agree, we don't want you just putting your head in the Rosh Sarabim and drinking like that, because there's a major concern that you'll come to transport the liquid, the cup, into your domain where you're standing in. It's only if you have Rosh Ovarubo, your head and the majority of your body in the domain in which you are drinking, we no longer have a concern that you're coming to transport. So the Gemara says, up until now, we've been framing these cases with the Rosh Hashanah. What about the case of a Carmelist? So we'll say, what happens if a person is standing in a Carmelist and he's drinking in Rosh Hashanah? Now, we'll say, now remember again, what does Carmelist do for us? Carmelist is a Din D'Rabbanan, right? So remember again, in the case of the Mishnah, I'm standing in Rosh Hashanah and drinking in Rosh Hashanah. So there's a real concern that if I come to move my cup of wine to Rosh Hashanah, I've done an actual act of Hotzah. What happens if I'm standing in a Carmelist and drinking Rosh Hashanah or drinking Rosh Hashanah? Supposed to remember again, what's my worst case scenario? If I transport an item, the worst case scenario is what? An Isser D'Rabbanan. Not downplaying it, but that's the extent. That's the extent of the fallout of this. So does the same halacha as espoused in the Mishnah apply? Amar Abaye, hihi. So Abaye says, yes, halacha l'maisa, we don't change anything. Rabbi says, right? Ultimately, again, whether you're standing in a Carmelist, standing in a Shtiyak, or Shtiram, it doesn't make a difference. Halacha is the halacha. When you're drinking, in order to stand in one domain and drink in a different domain, you must have the majority of your head and body in the domain in which you are drinking. Amar Rava, he gufa gzera, vainar nekov and nekzer gzera l'gzera. So Rabbi says, no. Come on. Carmelist itself is a gzera. And now you're going to add on an additional gzera on top of that gzera. So I'm not buying Manami Nasabai says, from where do I know that even a Carmelist, the same halacha of the Mishnah applies, midiktani amadeis, v'chin begat. Because we'll say the Mishnah also says the same halacha applies in a wine press. And I will say, Abai will say, now what is the Mishnah adding when it says so too in a wine press? Abai suggests the wine press is a case of a Carmelist. The wine press is a Carmelist. And therefore Abai says the Mishnah says not only does this halacha apply from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, but it even applies in a Carmelist as well. But Rava Amarava says, no. The case of Gat, Rabbo says, is also coming to teach us a different halacha. Le'inyan Meiser. Rabbo says, this is actually quite fascinating. The case of the Gat has nothing to do with Shabbos, but rather has to do with Meiser. What does that mean? V'chim Rav Sheshet Shechim Be'ad Le'inyan Meiser. This, Rabbo says, is fascinating. Shosin al Hagat. So we'll say, let's get a little bit of background to this. The halacha is that, well, look at Rashi. Shosin al Hagat. Rashi says, Omid al Hagat, you can stand by the wine press. V'shosa. V'chozman shelo hitzilo lochotz lav shtias kevahu. U'pater min ha-meiser bein shemazgo becham bein shemazgo b'tzor. Well, listen to this. The halacha is, generally, an object is only chayev in shumas and meisers when the object has reached its finished state. When is wine considered to be in its finished state? When you remove it from the wine press. So we'll say, technically speaking, if you drink wine in the press, right? In other words, you're standing in the wine press. I don't mean literally inside of the... I mean, you're standing in the area of the wine press, in the carmelis of the wine press. If you drink there, that's called shtiyas arai. That's called, right, just like a snack. And therefore, again, technically speaking, you're not chayiv in shumas and maisras. actually quite fascinating. So the Gemara says, Disnan, Shosna Lagas, you can go ahead and drink wine from the wine press. Bin Becham and Bin Bitsonin Upatir Emir. Whether you're diluting the wine with warm water, cold water, we'll see why that distinction is important in just a moment. If you drink by the wine press, that's called Shtia Sarai. Rabbi Eliezer Bar Tzadik Mechayev. Rabbi Eliezer Bar Tzadik says, Yechayev, in other words, that even going ahead, once you go ahead and dilute it, because most remember again, in the wine press, they were making wine concentrate. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Eliezer Bar Tzadik says, once you dilute wine, then it is considered to be a finished product. Even if you are drinking it in the wine press itself, it's finished. That for chayiv and shumas ma'aser. Chum the chum say, alacham in chayiv, ba'atzon in pater. Supposed to say, interestingly enough, the chachamim say that halacha lemaisa, if you diluted it with warm water, ultimately, again, now the wine is chayiv and shumas ma'aser. But if you diluted it with cold water, you are pater from shumas ma'aser if you're drinking it in the wine press. Why? When they shemachzer as samos, what is very interesting, because apparently when people would drink in the wine press, if you would go ahead and dilute it with cold water, and you didn't finish your wine, what would you do? You'd pour it right back into the press. You just would pour it back to the rest of the concentrate. But once you dilute it with warm water, apparently, again, I guess for the fermentation process, you can't put warm water back into the pool of the press. See, interestingly enough, Chum say, if you diluted it with cold water, you're not chayav in shumas ma'aser, because it's understood that whatever you don't finish, you can pour back. You diluted it with warm water, once you did that, it's a finished product, and you're chayav in shumas ma'aser. So therefore, Rava will say that halacha lemaisa, this case of the gat has nothing to do with Shabbos. It's actually a discussion regarding trumas and maisers. And ultimately, again, when you're considered to have a finished product or not, according to the Mishnah is teaching me that if you drink wine in the press, halacha lemaisa, again, it's still called an unfinished product, and therefore not subject to trumas and maisers. But again, then we see a semachlogis. Abaye says, God comes to teach me karmelis, that drinking in a karmelis is no different than drinking in a shiach or sarabim. And Rava says it's about trumas and maisers. Good, so we'll say semachlogis about that case as well. Let's go back there a little bit. Mishnah. Kolet adam min ha-maschila, lemat min yitvachim, o min ha-tzinar mikol makom shosa. So we'll say, now watch this. This is picture, coming to the end of the pictures over here. So we'll say, so this is picture. This is picture 346, 347, 348. So we'll say, so the Mishnah says over here, we're going to see the maschila is a gutter. So as I say, I have a gutter that runs by my roof line. So the Mishnah says over here that what could I do? I could collect water from the maschila lemata miyud. So we'll say, you can see in the picture over here, I'm standing in Rosh Hashanah, and I'm catching the rainwater as it comes off the gutter, and I'm catching it within 10 tefachim of the ground of Rosh Hashanah. So we'll say, so again, so therefore I'm effectively catching the rainwater in the Rosh Hashanah itself. Lamatin yutfachim. Uminat sinar, but I will say ultimately again from the sinar, so the sinar I will say you could see over here is, uminat sinar. Sinar is picture 347. This is more like it's a pipe as opposed to a gutter. This is more like a drainage pipe. So the halacha is by a drainage pipe, I will say, mikomakom shos. From a drainage pipe, you could collect the water directly. I will say, that's the picture you see over here. The individual is collecting the water straight from the pipe. So as opposed to the gutter, I'm holding the bucket within 10 tefachim of the ground of Rosh Sarabim, right? But from the tzinor, I could go ahead and collect the water directly. The Gemara says, and Rashi points out, you could even put your mouth on the drainage pipe if you want and drink directly like that. All right, so what's going on over here? Says the Gemara, kolate in aval metzare flow. So what's interesting over here is as follows. Apparently, by the case of the gutter, there are two different terms over here. There's what's called kolate. Kolate means to catch falling water in the bucket. That's the picture you see. Mitzaref means to put your mouth or to put the bucket right by the opening of the gutter or by the gutter. So the Mishnah is very clear. I can hold the bucket as long as it is within 10 tefachim of the ground of the Shram to catch the rainwater coming off the gutter. What can't I do? I can't hold my bucket right by the edge of the gutter. So the Gemara says, what's the pshat? Kolate in, so we'll say I could catch the water, aval metzarif, but I can't put my bucket right by right by the gutter. My time. Oh, what's the reason? Rav Nachman Hacha b'maschila pachos migimel samach lagagaskin. Because we're talking about a gutter that's less than 3 tefachim off the roof. So we'll say it's interesting. Their gutters are not like our gutters, right? So we'll say our gutters, right? Gutters are usually attached right to the edge of the roof line. You could see, Rabbo say, in the picture over here, you could see in 346, the gutter doesn't, it's not attached at the edge of the roof. It hung a little bit below. So it's the same concept, right? The water would go ahead and flow off the roof into the gutter, but the gutter was, so what is the case over here? The case over here is where the gutter is within 3 tefachim of the roof. Because we'll say, remember again, less than 3 tefachim is lavud. The roof is a reshus hayachid. So to take water directly from the gutter with my bucket and then bring it under Shabbos, it would also be what? Be an act of otzah. Act of otzah. So therefore, I'm allowed to catch the water as it comes out of the gutter in my bucket, as long as my bucket is within 10 tefachim of the gutter, but I cannot put my bucket up to the gutter. The gutter is less than 3 tefachim of the roof. The roof is Rishos HaYachid, and Talach HaLamai said that would be an act of Hotzah. Taina, everybody said, supports this. Omein Adam Rishos HaYachid, a person can stand in Rishos HaYachid, Umakbiya Yado L'man L'me'asar tefachim, and a person could go and lift up his hand above 10 tefachim, lefachos mishlosha samach legag, within 3 tefachim, close to the roof, v'kolet, and you could collect water, ubilvachle itzarif, as long as you don't go ahead and put your hand directly there. Tanya, idach, another price that supports this, lo yamor other bershas ayachid, person shna stener shayachid, v'yagbiya yadu lamal me'asar tefachim, and lift your hand above 10 tefachim, lefachos migimu samach legag, v'yitzarif, avakolitu v'shos. So suppose it's the same rise, it's staying the same idea. That halacha l'maisa, therefore again, I can catch water coming off the gutter. That's not a problem. But to put my bucket up to the edge of the gutter that is within 3 tefachim of the roof, which therefore I suppose essentially makes the gutter like a reshus hayachid, that I can't do. That I can't do. Good. Minatzina mikomakum shosa. So we'll say, but yet again, from the drainage pipe, I could even drink that. Which sounds like I could put my mouth on the drainage pipe. I could put the bucket right by the drainage pipe. Tana, imyesh betzina dalad al dalad osam. However, again, if now both said the drainage pipe is different because you can see from the picture the drainage pipe is not really that water is coming from somewhere else. So ultimately, again, it doesn't have the problem of being attached, of being like loved to the roof. So because of that halacha lemaisa, I can go ahead and take water directly from the drainage pipe with one caveat, the Gemara says. Im yesh betzino dalet al dalet aser, if the drainage pipe itself has an area of dalet al dalet, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, then it's going to be problematic. Why are both going to come out to Rishos Rishos? Because we'll say essentially, if the drainage pipe itself has a dimensions of dalet al dalet, then halacha lemaisa, the problem is, it becomes like an act of hotzah, to go ahead and put your mouth right on it, or to go ahead and put the bucket right on it. Good. One more, so let's begin the next Mishnah. Borbish Trambish Bichol Yaso Gavoa Yud Tfachim. I have a pit in Rishus Hayit Rabim, and I will say again, it's so the pit with its embankment is 10 Tfachim high. Okay, so we'll say back to the days of Bar. So we'll say, so what's Talacha? Chalon Shal Gaba Malanim and Shabbos. We'll say, so imagine the scene. This is a water pit. So right, so the water pit is 10 Tfachim, and I live right next door to the pit. So we'll say, I have a window that opens up into the pit. So what's Talacha? I could draw water from that pit on Shabbos. Okay. Ashba Birshasram Gaba Yud Tfachim. There is a garbage dump next to my house that is 10 Tfachim high. We'll say, what could I do? If the garbage dump is 10 tefachim high, and I have a window that opens there, I could dump out wastewater or garbage from that window into the garbage dump on Shabbos. Okay? Says the Gemara, I'm asking. So we'll say, what's the case over here? Focusing on the case of the water pit. If you want to say that the water pit is right next to my home, which means there's less than dalet tefachim in between my home and ultimately again the pit, then what? The Gemara says, then lama lichuya. So we'll say, so why do you have to be, in other words, we'll say, if there's less than dalet tefachim in between my pit and the home, then obviously I could draw water from it. What's the case? The case is where the water pit is more than 4 tefach away from my home, from my house. I will say the reason I could draw from the water pit is why? Because the water pit itself is a rishus hayachiv, right? So I'll say ultimately again, because the water pit itself has a bank, ultimately, again, of 10 tefachim, because it's all 10 tefachim, therefore I'm allowed to draw from it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Tema Besmucha, HaKamashon Debar V'chol Yosem Misarfan Asher. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, what's up with this? Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, the novelty that's being expressed here, I will say, is something different. The novelty that's being expressed here is that Halacha L'maisa, when creating a water pit that is a Rishus HaYochid, you could go ahead and combine the depth of the pit and the height of the embankment. So we'll say that's the novelty that's being expressed over here. That even if you have a pit, let's say that's only 8 tefachim deep, but the embankment adds on an additional 2 tefachim, then that pit will ultimately be considered to be a Rishus HaRabim, or Rishus HaYachid, excuse me, because of the combination of the depth of the pit and the height of the embankment. Right, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with the case of the garbage dump in Yeretz Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach.